So once upon a time, there was a young man, and his name was Jerry. His dad was a pastor. And all of his life, he assumed that Jerry was going to be a pastor too. His grandma said, "God's got his hand on you, Jerry." Someday, you're going to be in the pulpit and preach the word. Just like your daddy. And you know what, Jerry? We'll be so proud of you. And Jerry's uncles and aunts said it too. "Jerry, you're going to preach one day. We just know it." I'll tell you, his uncle said, that little boy, he's got such a strong voice. He's got a voice that any preacher would love to have. I can hear him all the way around the block. And you know, he could read by the time he was 3 years old. Boy, that boy's smart. Jerry's mom and dad tried not to pressure him, but they dropped little hints. Everybody at church liked Jerry. He was president of the youth group. He was dating that sweet girl who sang in the choir. What an asset. Oh, she'd make a good pastor's wife. And then one day Jerry was sitting in his seminary dorm room cramming for his Greek exam, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Jerry, it's time." Jerry said, "Time for what, Lord? Time for what?" "It's time for you to start preaching." "I'm not ready yet, God." "Why, I'm just getting started. I've got too much to do yet before I can get to preaching. Well, I've got to learn a few things. Surely you want me to spend time studying first. I got to take Greek and Hebrew and contemporary preaching and counseling and church administration, and I've got classes to take." "Oh, well, Jerry," God said, "I didn't call you to be a pastor. Say what? No, I didn't call you to be a pastor, Jerry. Before you were born, I knew you inside and out. You're not an accident of nature. You're special. You're made for my purpose and my purpose alone. I don't want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a prophet." "A prophet," Jerry said. "A prophet? I don't know anything about being a prophet. Who's going to listen to a young guy like me? Who's going to listen to what I have to say? And besides, what about my housing and my health insurance and my pension plan?" "You didn't let me finish," God said. "You didn't let me finish. I've got one more thing to tell you. I'm going to always be with you. Always. And I know this isn't going to be easy, and you're right, there's no security in it. There's no pension plan. People are going to laugh at you. Most of them are not going to listen to what you have to say. But you know what, Jerry? I want you to do this. I want you to let me take care of that. You don't worry about that. You let me take care of that." And before Jerry could object, God reached down and touched his mouth and gave him the words to say. Now, if you know a little bit about the Old Testament theology, you recognize that there's a protagonist of our story. In the year 628 BC, God called Jeremiah, this young man from a priestly family, to be a prophet. As the son of a priest, Jeremiah was expected to enter the priesthood too. The priests were the bridge between the people and God. Priests taught the law. They guarded the covenant between Israel and God. They offered incense and offerings on God's altar on behalf of the people. They sacrificed animals as a source of atonement for the sins of the people. And though the priesthood required a lot of work and responsibility, the position had its perks. You see, priests were highly respected in the communities. They had an honorable place in society. They had a secure place. They always knew that the people would need them in the temple. And the people usually took good care of them. But the amazing thing happened to Jeremiah. He never got to experience the priesthood. God had other plans for his life, and when he was a young man, about 20 years old, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. It wasn't a cushy job. Nobody likes prophets. They are the people who tell us the stuff we don't want to hear. They tell us these kinds of things. See if you like this. You're all a bunch of sinners. You need to take care of the poor. You know, you're spending way too much time on social media. And you're following the popular culture, not God. Once I was at the door and I preached a prophet sermon, and a lady came out and she said, you know, preacher, you can catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. You ever heard that? You can catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. I think she was talking about my sermon. And I told her, I'll remember that when I'm trying to catch flies. Right now I'm just preaching the gospel. And sometimes the gospel has a hard word, and we don't like to hear it. Or I've had people tell me, you stepped on my toes. Anybody ever heard that before? You ever say that? I thought to myself the first time I heard that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes. I never try to do that, not on purpose. But Jeremiah had this task of giving the people this hard news. It was a very, very difficult task, and he never gave up. He lived to see his prophecies fulfilled, his name vindicated. But what kept him going was, I believe Jeremiah was at his lowest point, deep down in the dungeon. No human contact. He'd been abandoned by everybody. But he remembered these words. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. He was special. He had a purpose. And he was not alone. A few years back, there was a company that conducted a nationwide survey. And they asked the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? What do you think? One third of the people said if they had an audience with God, they would ask, why was I put here on earth? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? That'd be your question. Why am I here? Well, I've got news for you. This passage applies to your life as well as it does to Jeremiah's. You see, God tells us that we have a purpose in life as well. Just like Jeremiah, God's got a purpose for your life. It may not be as a prophet, but God's got a purpose for your life. There's a reason you're here. And there's something that God wants you to do. You're not an accident. You're made and you're set apart, and there's a plan for your life to glorify God, to reflect His image to others. Does that mean you have to go into ministry? No. Fortunately, no. Does that mean you got to give up your job and spend all your time in prayer and Bible study? No. Fortunately, no. Does that mean that you've got to abandon your position as a father and stockbroker or data entry clerk or whatever it is you do? No. You see, a little boy came home from church and he was looking visibly upset. His mother said, "What's wrong?" He said, "We learned a stupid song in Sunday school today." What was the song? Some of you have learned this song. Jesus wants us to be a sunbeam. I don't want to be a sunbeam. I want to be a truck driver. So don't buy into the meaning of that particular song. God is either going to make you one thing or another. You can be a truck driver and still be a sunbeam. You can be whatever you are and still let the light of Christ shine through you, right? No matter where you are in life, you've got a holy, awesome purpose and opportunity to shine the love of Christ. And God's called you to do just that. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, continue doing it. But let Christ live in you and through you and use you as His instrument in the world. Second thing this passage tells us is that we're special. You know, God knows you. God loves you. You know, a lot of us are really not known that well by too many people. There are just a few people, right, that really know you. I can tell you something about God. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows you. God loves you more than you can even begin to imagine. One of my seminary professors says the reason atheists don't believe in God is not so much because they don't believe in God as it is that they don't believe that God can love them. Isn't that amazing? They feel so unloved. And they don't believe that God could possibly love them. And I think there are too many people wandering around thinking that they're not loved by God. God doesn't love me. God doesn't know who I am. Yes, He does. He knows who you are, and He loves you. Every single one of us. And He made you. And He has a purpose and a plan for you. And this is what people struggle with. I don't understand. I don't know what God wants me to do. I can't figure out what my purpose is, what my plan is, what God's plan is for my life. And so what do? You first recognize that God does know you, that God does have a plan for you, and now it's your job to find ways of exhibiting and showing God's love. And you're going to find opportunity to do that if you seek out God and God's Spirit and God's direction for your life to do just that. You'll find it. You'll discover it. And it'll happen, and you'll realize it when it does. And it's amazing. Quite often, folks, you know, these things happen by way of God's supernatural powers and opportunities that you don't plan or anticipate. People come into your life. People come into your business. People come into your work. There are opportunities for you to show the love of God you never expected. I was standing on the top of the church steps in Bethlehem Baptist Church, and they had about 20 steps going up to the chapel. And we were all the way at the top, and a lady came out She'd been visiting that Sunday, visibly upset. I didn't know her, never met her. God said, go talk to her. Well, I'm shaking people's hands. I stopped the person whose hand I was shaking, said, excuse me just a minute, but I need to do something. I got to catch this lady. She was walking down those steps. I met her about 10 steps down, said, ma'am, I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad you came to church today. She started to cry when I took her hand and I said, would you like to talk? Yes, she said. I lost my son and I didn't know where to go, so I came to church. Son had died. She ended up becoming a member of our church, loved by our church family, community. But there was a voice in my head that told me to go. Now, go, talk to her. Where does that come from? Except from God. And there is a voice speaking to you, telling you that there is someone who needs God's love, who is there for you to give it to. They need God's love, and you are the person that God wants to use in order to give it to them. And sometimes it's just opening the door to that possibility. But God's purpose for your life, folks, is to love others in the name of Jesus Christ. Max Lucado wrote a cute-sounding, thought-provoking devotional about how much we mean to God. It's called, If God Had a Refrigerator. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring, and he gives you a sunrise every morning. And anytime you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart. And what about that Christmas gift he gave you? You know, the one in Bethlehem? Yeah. Not to mention that Friday at Calvary. God's crazy about you. And Jesus came to preach the good news that you're special, that you're loved, that you have a purpose, and your purpose is to love others. And do you know what? Wherever you are, you're never alone. Never. God is always there with you. Always. You're never alone. And if you believe it, well, it'll change your life. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the calling that you have upon our lives, for the purpose you give us, so that we can understand, God, your love of us, and we can offer that love freely to those that we encounter. As we listen to your voice, you speak to us and you guide us and you direct us to be your servants in the world. So God, guide us today. Let your Spirit fill us. And let us understand your calling and purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.